It's time to chat to Peter. And today in our Legal Eagle segment, talking about various aspects of body corporates. So Peter, very good morning. Welcome.
Yes, morning, Wayne. And indeed, your chat before you today, giving us the headlines, is important to us as well. Because, you know, one of the warnings that we need to give all of our holiday makers, especially, and also with school holidays coming and our people that live on the coast, is beware of cows and horses. You know, daily horses are out, cows are on the road. I think in this last week, I've seen two people hit cows on our road. And this morning's prime report is that there are horses at tea in the tree. So, you know, it's very important. And then, yes, of course, we're going to talk about homeowners now and, you know, payment of levies and things like that as well. So they hit the headlines this morning and we're going to chat about it. So what is homeowners? Homeowners is where you live in a, what you, some people call a gated area, or you belong to a group that owns it all along our coast, Wild Coast. We're full of that with the various places. You have Shorefin, you have Inverlochy, you have Tabunga, you have Sinsa Slopes, you have Glen Eden, Glen Navarre, Four Seasons, Queensbury, all of them along the coast. Those are all ruled by homeowners associations or body corporates, some of them still. Original ones are still in the old body corporate down the coast, but they all follow the same rules and regulations, and they all fall under the various four aspects that we're going to talk about today. So the homeowners that we talk about today will fall into four categories: CSOS, which is the Community Services Ombudsman, and then the Constitution, and then the Utilities Account, and of course, membership. So if we start first with homeowners, we need to understand that it's compulsory to be a member of a homeowners association if you have bought into a gated area, or, you know, one where there's security or a complex, let's put it to you that way. It's not your choice to say, oh, I don't want to belong to the homeowners association, I'm not prepared to pay anything towards it, and all the rest of it. It is a communal place. It shares what you call levies, which are derived by taking into account the budget for the forthcoming year. An estimate is made, and at the annual general meeting each year, must be passed, and the levies for the year are then agreed upon by a majority. So you have an opportunity to see if it's fair and equitable, the levy that is going to be applicable for the year, and it's compulsory for you to pay it. Some homeowners associations allow to be paid monthly, others, most of which insist that it's paid annually at the beginning of the year, so that they don't have any problems. In fact, the better of the two, I know that a lot of people say we can't afford it, but, you know, there's no reason why if you pay in advance, you can't then save monthly so that you've got the amount available at the next year. That's certainly what we do in the complex where I stay. We pay in December every year, and then you can put away January to December so that the next December you have the amount available to pay for the forthcoming year. So that is worked out. It's a levy. The levy is there to cover your rates and taxes on your open area, or if you're a body corporate, rates and taxes on the entire complex. It covers your upkeep of the gardens, electricity supply, water, and all those type of things. So the expenses are there. The budget is brought out, and it's you know, available for everybody to look at. So Your fees are payable, and you have no excuse to say, I'm not going to pay, I don't agree, I don't want them cutting my lawn, I don't want them, you know, they don't give me any services, they don't do this, they don't do that. Unfortunately, a levy is a levy. It's applicable when you buy into the complex. In fact, if the attorney that has established your complex has done things correctly, it should be a condition of title to say that it is compulsory to become a member of the homeowners association and to abide by the rules and regulations. We certainly, when assisting any homeowners association, body corporate, or the like along the coast, ensure that that is placed on the title deed and adhered to by everybody. Mm-hmm. And how do you arrive at knowing what is what and what is due? Well, it should all be contained in your constitution. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of the places down there have updated and confirmed that their constitutions are now in order, and it allows for everything from the rules and regulations to the building rules, to rates, taxes, committee, meetings. Your constitution covers everything. It's like a handbook. It will tell you anything you want to know about your complex and what you can and can't do. So it's important that you have a constitution. Now, a lot of the places also have old constitutions which they haven't updated or upgraded, and that needs to be done. You need to have a look at your constitution, because as time has gone by and the various places have developed into bigger and better places to live, new rules and regulations have come in, and that needs, of course, to be adhered to and to be placed in writing. So, yes, I am busy helping a lot of places on our coast and in the East London area, updating their constitutions, which were basic and didn't contain the necessary rules and regulations, the necessary challenges that they've had from homeowners, because it's not clear written in the constitution that exists at the present moment. You know, it covers all type of things like pet, garden walls, fences, the roads, the electricity. If you've got a general manager, with wages, when meetings are to be had, and all the rest of it, what to do if you have a complaint and that type of thing. So it's very important that, you know, your next thing then is that your constitution is up to date and that your membership is correct. So those are two basic important steps that you start with. One, membership, to make sure that everybody is a member and participating. Two, that your constitution dictates as to what is allowed and not allowed in your complex. And that will give you the answers to the many arguments that follow as a result of that. Mm. And then, you know, if we have a look at that, you say, okay, so what's the story? Now, most of these complexes, especially along our coast, get the Eskom in, and then have their own systems internally to pay for the electricity and that type of thing. And I'm very pleased to confirm that recently a decision in the High Court came along to say that, you know, the port empowers body corporates and homeowners associations to cut electricity where people are in arrears. Mm. It's a great judgment that came through, because, you know, why should I and my good paying fellow homeowners pay for the electricity of Joe Soap, who hasn't paid but continues to enjoy same? So it did come to the conclusion recently that you can cut the power of a home, but of course you need a court order to do that. They have ruled that you can't unilaterally do so. You must prove to a court of law that the person has not paid, is making no attempt or effort to pay, and for that reason does not need to be supplied with power. So that's a real good decision that is welcomed, I'm sure, by most homeowners associations or body corporates, to say you can disconnect the power. Of course, it's a different thing if you in a complex where you get your power directly from BCM, for example. You know, they have the right to cut power. So that is one of the aspects that was taken into account by the High Court when they said, yes, the homeowners must likewise be able to do so. So, you know, it's no different to your single home in an area, in a suburb where your electricity is cut by Eskom or cut by BCM for failure to pay. That is one of the last things that has come out of a recent ruling. So your utilities are necessary. You need to pay for your utilities. You can't expect your water and sewerage and rubble to be taken away free of charge. You need to pay for that, and you need to make sure that your levies are up to date. Now, all homeowners associations seem to battle with people that are in arrears. It's that one or two that make life a misery for everybody else. You know, when you do your budget in the beginning of the year, you say, okay, we're going to need R1,000 for gardening, 10 homes, that's R100 each, and you stick to that. So if two people don't pay, you're R200 short on your garden,
budget.
Services that are needed at R100 a month, and it affects the whole complex. It affects everybody. So You know, arrears are a terrible thing. You need to try and ensure that your utilities are paid for, that your monthly levy is paid for. And that's why I highly recommend to all homeowners association, pay it in advance.
Mm.
Because then you can deal with it immediately. You don't find a year later so-and-so is X number of months, 6 months in arrears or something like that. Your utilities are more or less kept up to date.
Yeah, and that's
very, very important. And then, you know, the next thing that we talk about today is where do you go to if there are problems? Well, you know, there's the Community Services Ombudsman. You know, that's for community living in South Africa. It's a service that is found and it's compulsory for all homeowners associations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there. It's throughout South Africa. You'll see big boards all over the show confirming that it's an independent body tasked with regulating and supporting community schemes, as they call them. It's to ensure proper governance, to resolve disputes where they arise, and to protect the rights of all stakeholders. You know, it's a framework of transparency, basically, that allows people living in complexes to ensure that the same rules and regulations apply to everybody,
mm-hmm.
that a person can't do their own thing and that type of thing. Obviously, they cannot overrule any rules or regulations that are in place. So they can't, for example, change building rules and regulations,
yeah.
and that type of thing. You know, they can't, for example, they wouldn't now be able to come along and rule that you must apply electricity where it's been put off in terms of a court order or something like
that.
So, you know, they don't have supreme power that they can override anything. So, you know, the key features of it is that it's there for a dispute resolution where it arises between two parties. They can assist with financial management. You know, that's where budgets are done. And the homeowners have a right to challenge the budget to say, how do you arrive at 1,000 rand for garden services?
Mm.
What garden service are you using? Have you got a quote from somebody else? Is the 1,000 rand reasonable? You know, so they have the right to see that the funds are used directly, appropriately, and for the benefit of the community. That type of thing falls under financial management. You can challenge any aspect of that. You know, you have a right to challenge the appointment of your committee members or your trustees or your executive, whatever you want to call them. Various community schemes call them different people.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are disputes over the appointment of them, CSOS can assist there, and they can indeed ensure fairness and compliance. Obviously, you know, if somebody's got in by one vote and you want to challenge the votes, they can look into that, but they can't change it. They can't come along and say, oh, Peter is a better candidate than Wayne, so we replace Peter with Wayne. They can't do that type of thing, but they can, where it's challenged, have a look at the appointment and conduct of the committee member, trustee, or whatever you want to call him. So it's there. And, of course, you also have a right to go to CSOS to ask what your rights and responsibilities under the, not only the Act, but in terms of the Constitution, and that is, you know, they will help you in that regard. They're supposed to set up workshops and guides and online resources to help homeowners, you know, get to the right agreements amongst themselves. So, you know, they're not just there, the place where you go lay a complaint and they do hearings. They can also give you advice, and you're entitled to get advice from them. But one must remember that the Homeowners Association, it's compulsory for them to join, and there is an annual fee that must be paid. So as a homeowner, you must ensure that your complex is registered and that you're aware of that. It should come out on your budget annually, CSOS, and the amount you pay for CSOS. You're entitled to ask what your CSOS registration number is, because it works by a number. But if you can't get any joy out of your homeowner, you're entitled to go straight to CSOS and ask them if such a place is registered. There's a very heavy fine if they're not, so be cautious in that regard. But I do have one word of warning to all people that, you know, you get some people that just run to authorities, just run to a place like CSOS. Don't be that certain person.
Mm-hmm.
Be the person who first of all goes back to the people in charge to try and settle any dispute that there is. There's nothing more annoying than people who go directly to CSOS without even attempting to settle what their dispute is. And invariably, you find that it's people that are stirring or people that are in the wrong, that, you know, they think that they're right, or they may even be right, but they get a little sort of joy out of taking people to the authorities instead of doing the first normal thing. You know, if you're in a relationship and things go bad, it's necessary for you to sit down with your partner and try and discuss it. Mm. You don't just run off and say, I want a divorce today. You know, my partner hit me last night, and that's the end of it.
That's the end.
It can
right.
be like that, but you know, you need to discuss and to sort. So, yeah, when you come back, you know, CSOS to me is very important. You know, the homeowners do benefit. It is a tool for protecting one's rights in a complex.
Mm-hmm.
It is a place that you can go to when you get no joy out of the people that operate and run the homeowners association. But, you know, a happy homeowners is where you have committee members or trustees or whatever they want to call themselves who work together with the people. You don't just make rules and not ask for opinions and advice and that type of thing. I've been involved in our one, and I've always said, you know, if you're the chairman or the secretary or in charge of buildings or in charge of electricity, in roads, whatever, it's not for you just to make independent one-off decisions. Mm. You know, you've got a committee, talk to your committee, talk to your group that run it, and get a majority ruling there. And if there's an unhappy homeowner, call the person in, discuss, see if you can't come to a mutual agreement, which I find 9 out of 10 times happens. You know, it's only the person, invariably, it's the person who's not prepared to listen to anything, not prepared to take advice from people to say, you know, look, maybe you're wrong here. You know, step down and let's reach a compromise. You know, let's sort it out. I mean, you get a lot of things that are unnecessary. Building regulations and rules always come into place. People forever think that they have a right to a view and a right to building on boundaries and things like that. And those type of things can be settled amongst the parties themselves together with the committee. There's no need to run to CSOS for that. In fact, personally, in my own personal opinion, is that people that do that should not be in the complex, because they're just there, in my eyes, as stirrers, instead of trying to find peace. But if they've tried and they can't do it, wonderful. Go that route. It's very important. So that's where the CSOS will benefit you. You know, the challenges and the way forward is available to homeowners. And, yeah, CSOS is applicable to most of the community services schemes. So it's sectional titles that fall under it. It's share blocks. It's home or property owners or associations. It's housing schemes for retired persons. It's housing co-ops that you find all over the show. You know, all those schemes have to be registered with CSOS. So that's what it is. And invariably, it's called a homeowners association. So it's a shared living scheme, basically, that you're living in. It has its rules and governing body. And it has its individual houses or townhouses, or you're part of a sectional title scheme, or you can be what you call a share block. A share block means that you have no rights to it, in the sense that you respect the home that you have in your complex, but it's not yours. It's not registered in your name. It's registered in the name of the share block.
Yeah.
So it's like a company, and you have a share. That's all you have.
Mm.
So, you know, collectively ever pay maintenance to maintain the homeowners association, and it's used to cover the levy. Then it's of course used to cover the management and the maintenance costs incurred. So, you know, you need to respect that. And then, you know, people often ask what legislation is applicable in places like that. Your Bible is the Constitution.
Mm.
You know, it's a common law establishment. And then the constitution and rules that are applicable applies to everybody. You can't come along and say, no, I don't want to be a member of that homeowners association. I just want to live by myself with my family in the complex. I will maintain my own house. I will do everything myself. Unfortunately, when you buy into a gated area, that's not the position.
And that's not how it works.
You know, not how it works. It's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So it will depend on how it's ruled, and that is what they are. But of course, they are all governed and fall under CSOS, which is a government thing that was established, and it's in place. So, you know, you have the right to challenge anything. You have a right to call special meetings if you're not happy and things like that. But invariably, your constitution, for a meeting, there must be 50 plus one. People, if they're not there on the first occasion, you can postpone for 7 days and then go ahead if the people don't come. Most constitutions say that you need a 75 plus 1% to change a constitution. So, you know, they make it hard just to do simple things. You can't just come along in the committee of its own, takes on a constitution, makes changes and that type of thing. So it's got to be done with everybody over there. You know, you also get these days a lot of complexes you find in the bigger towns, in Cape Town and Johannesburg and that. You find places where there's shops on the bottom row and flats on top in complexes. Similar to, I suppose, the Kennaway Hotel in East London, where you've got the hotel and the businesses on the bottom, whatever they may be, the restaurants and that. And then upstairs, you've got living quarters, which is, I'm not sure if it's sectional title or what, but I know that those are privately owned. I think it's a sectional title scheme, and you've got rules and regulations there as well. So, you know, you've got a mixed-use development scheme, and you've got rules and that are applicable to them as well. So that's where you are. A lot of people say, what's the benefit of being in a complex or in a gated area? Well, there are a lot of benefits. You know, one of the main benefits is security in my eyes. And, you know, like all along our coast over there, Wayne, where you are, where I am, we've got protection in the form that we've got gates that close us in. We've got lights there. Some of us have got cameras and things like that. So you live there and you feel safe because your neighbors close by, and invariably you have groups which has everybody's
connected.
So I know that you're connected. You know, if something happens, if you hear somebody screaming or something, you don't have to go out alone. Invariably the people come out. I mean, just take electricity, for example, over the weekend. I know that we went out 2 or 3 times over the weekend, and there's a group called Since the West Electricity, and we were able to find out all the different places that were off, log in and complain and get our complaint number and get it repaired. So it's got its benefit: security, electricity, water. If the gates are not working, or if there's strangers in the camp, you've got security protection and that type of thing. So they're all different types of amenities that are offered in a mixed area that you can benefit from. And of course, the nice thing is that your day-to-day management is not done by you. So your roads are maintained, your lights are kept. You know, at night, if you have a light that's out, you say to management, you know, the light in front of Joseph's house is not working, it's dark in that area, please sort it out, that type of thing.
Yeah, and it gets done. So,
you know, the schemes are governed correctly. They have their rules and their regulations. And then, of course, like I say, we go back to the fact that levies must be paid. You know, the minute you don't pay levies, one doesn't pay, it upsets everybody. You know, you don't have money to pay insurance. You don't have money to maintain the roads. You don't have money to purchase electricity and that type of thing if people are not paying. Others are complimenting and paying for other people. And as I say, we welcome the decision now of the High Court where you can turn electricity off, because that seems to be the main one that people abuse in most of these complexes.
Is the electricity supply.
I've got electricity. Person's got X amount in arrears. We can't switch him off. Why? You know, people have been begging. We want to switch him off.
Yeah.
You know, if he was living in a house in town, he would be off long ago. So that's a welcome decision over there. And then, you know, your different ones have different rules, sectional title, body corporate, share block, and that type of thing. They have different rules applicable that fit in with whatever complex or homeowners association you are in.
Depending on the type of place.
Yeah. So, you know, you need to remember that no new place has come into existence without proper rules and regulations, without a proper constitution, without, you know, also what people often ask is, oh, the developer's there, he's got 20 sites. He's now sold 3 sites. So who pays for what? you know, invariably you have in those schemes, you need to read. If you're buying into a scheme or buying into a complex, make sure you read the rules and regulations. Don't just buy because you like it and because it's nice.
Mm.
It could have an impact on you until, you know, the homeowners association is established. Yeah, the developer doesn't have to hand over the reins until he sold 50 plus 1%.
Mm.
Others, the developer hangs on. So you've got to watch it and see.
And he might call the shots until such a time as there are enough. There's a critical number of units that have been sold.
Yeah.
Peter,
also be careful. You know, we have that situation often, and I've experienced it, where people say, you know, I don't want to partake in the tennis court and the swimming pool. I don't swim and I don't play tennis.
Mm.
It's not like that. Make sure you read the rules and regulations correctly.
And
we've been a bit long today. So much to talk about.
It's a very interesting and very complex topic, and I've got a couple of questions which have arisen from it, so maybe we can touch on that again sometime. One last question that I know I always ask is, if somebody wants to get in touch, maybe they've got a homeowners association issue that they need to deal with, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can like us on Facebook. Just add a S to our name, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, Allams. Like us on Facebook. You'll find all our details there. They can go into Wild Coast FM and they'll find us and all our details on there weekly as well with the chat. And then, of course, they can get hold of us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, the little side street where Pep Stores is. And then our telephone number is 043-7211-018. So any of those ways to get hold of us, you know, if you want to chat, yes, we do on our nice little Wild Coast that we have over there. If there's anybody that can't get to town and wants to chat to us, we're happy from Allams to come and see you at home. We live on the coast, so it's not taking us out of our way or anything like that. Weekly, we make arrangements with people who say, you know, we don't have money to travel into town. We don't come to town. Can you come and see us? Happy to meet you at your home or meet you somewhere along the coast.
Great.
So, yes, we're always there for the people of the coast.
Peter, thank you very, very much.
Pleasure, Wayne.
Cheerio then. Have a great week. We'll chat again next week, Monday. That's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle Chat.